Well, howdy, everybody. You are back to another episode of Inner Dialogue with Douglas Newsome and Tyler Gallagher.
Tyler Gallagher.
We are sorry we started a little bit late today. I came through this super bad flu, cold, muscle spasm. I don't know what you call it. One of the strangest things. It caused me a lot of pain for about 36 hours, and it broke about an hour ago. I feel like a new man, so I want to jump up and down, praise the Lord, and, you know, get right at this. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing so well, Douglas. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Well, right now, this past hour, I'm doing wonderful. It's those small blessings when you're that sick and you halfway feel like you're going to croak, and then it just breaks all of a sudden. It's like, oh, what? You feel just so thankful about everything, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've had that before. I had this nasty stomach flu,
mm-hmm.
And when it was so bad, Doug, my stomach, like, it would feel like I was dying, and it would go for, like, almost a minute, just, like, the sharpest stomach, like, I would have to get, like, curled up. I couldn't stand when this happened. And it would let up for a minute and then go right back into it.
Interesting. Stomach.
And I did this for almost 2 days, Doug, until I finally went down to emergency, and they pumped me with IV.
Huh.
Yeah, and it turned out I was dehydrated.
You know, a lot of people, they take flu shots, but I don't believe in these flu shots. I don't know if you've heard Dr. Carla's messages. She has a show on BBS Radio, and
mm-hmm.
She mentions the fact that these flu vaccinations or flu shots have mercury in it, which is causing autism.
No way.
Yeah, one out of 150 people in the United States have autism, and she feels it's due to vaccinations put on by the government, and they've actually admitted to it, by the way. I've read some articles about this. Of course, really sorry, blah, 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 but here they are shooting people to get better, and they're actually making people worse. So I don't go into the doctors to get vaccinations of any form or fashion. I try to avoid a doctor at all costs.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the first I've heard of it.
Isn't that interesting? You know, there's a lot of good reading material on the TNT discussion board. Dr. Carla presents a lot of information there. I mean,
really?
There's almost anything you want to get into, from politics to the esoteric, it's there. The government, you know, some religion, ufology, everything. I mean, it's really, it's a place that you can gain a lot of insight that's not mainstream.
Really?
Mm. I always encourage people, if they want to broaden their horizons, read a few of these articles. It's not going to make you feel any better about life, because they're vainly talking about the degradation of the political scene and, you know, how power corrupts and what's happening in the world today. And generally when you hear that, it makes you sick. Matter of fact, this is funny. I couldn't sleep. All last night I couldn't sleep. I had my legs up. I felt like somebody had taken my body and racked it against a tree, and somebody was squeezing every muscle in my body. And there was hypersensitivity on my entire body, and I couldn't get comfortable. I was going through chills and sweats with this hypersensitivity, and I have like four blankets underneath me on top of the bed just because it wasn't soft enough, if you can imagine that sort of pain. And my mother was watching the news, and, you know, usually she turns on the news from, you know, around noon, and I can remember thinking I couldn't get to sleep because when the news is on, all I hear is crap. From
yeah.
one end of the broadcast to the next, it's news, and it's always crap,
so,
and it depresses
one.
Me. I couldn't sleep.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, though, I play devil's advocate, though, with, you know, this woman who's on BBS that says that these shots could be causing autism.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play devil's advocate.
Sure,
you know,
good.
I first off find it very hard to believe a government would admit that they cause autism through flu shots.
Hmm.
And second off, right? Because you said that it's government has.
Well, actually, some people sued. I believe it was a court case that went in, and they made allegations, and there was a settlement to some degree because of the mercury causing autism. And so they actually not only kind of admitted to it, they actually made a settlement out of it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know a lot about autism.
Mm-hmm.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't autism something that you're born with?
No. As a matter of fact, people today are finding that the autism, the symptoms, many people are. But then you get later onset autism, which can occur sometimes in your teens and later. But generally it starts in the beginning, 4 or 5, you start to recognize these symptoms. What it is is more like a hypersensitivity to stimulation. Okay,
yeah,
whether it be noise or light.
But
something.
Also they have trouble with speech.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I find it hard that someone who learns speech can all of a sudden get autism.
Well, did you know that the government used to use mercury to shoot up the cock to get rid of, let's say, syphilis, for example? That might be one of the ways that you would have got rid of syphilis back 40, 50 years ago,
right,
was to shoot mercury. So it has been utilized by doctors as a cure, and that's probably one of the reasons why they put it in the vaccinations. But then, like the mercury fillings in your teeth, you know, now today, do you hear any doctors saying, let's put mercury in your teeth? No, they realize that these mercury fillings actually lead to problems, you know. So from dentists to doctors, they've been using mercury for, I don't know, how long?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read up personally on autism, because I don't know much about it, so it's hard for me to comment.
Mm-hmm.
But it just it seems hard for me to believe that someone who learns how to speak and whatnot can all of a sudden develop autism.
Well, you got to imagine the government.
I want to read all about that before you know I make any.
Well, how about this? This is almost a given fact to anybody out there. The government was using depleted uranium, I think it was uranium, but with an isotopic property that they say didn't have, what do they call that, radiation properties, and they were building tanks and other machinery because of the ability for those tanks to withstand mortar shells, but they were making them out of metals that were very, very high based in their composition, and they were saying that they weren't really radioactive, even though we know those metals to be radioactive, and that's one of the problems now with the military coming back is they're having symptoms due to the property, the metal that's making up the tanks and other equipment in the Gulf. So that's happening today. So don't believe that your government is doing things always in the right. You know what I mean?
So,
like for example, Bayer aspirin back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were selling the Bayer aspirin that was filled with AIDS to Africa because they weren't allowed to sell it here.
So let me ask you,
What,
since you and I have talked in 2 weeks, what is the good news going on around us?
Good news.
Yeah.
What is the good news? Well, I read an interesting article on globes. You know these little globes, everybody talks about these globes of light. You're seeing it on TV. Sometimes these paranormal people are photographing these globes. They take pictures and they see globes of light, right?
I haven't heard of this. No, I have not. So elaborate for myself and maybe the audience who haven't heard of this.
Well, being that most people are probably spiritual listening to this, they've probably all heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I read an article today on the TNT board where one person believes, I think, because he went through a kundalini. He went through a spiritual awakening. And it's interesting because as I was reading it, I could equate to what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, these globes of light were moving in and through his body, and they were around him, appearing, you know, outside or around him and moving through him. And he believes that they could be some sort of a thought construct, a manifestation of maybe thought, and it's because they would move in accordance with his thoughts, like he might. He didn't say this, but let's say he wanted the globe to go right, then it might go right. If he wanted the globe to go left, it might go left. And they're just like little golf balls of light that you can see under certain lenses. The human eye really can't. I'm sorry?
How is this good news? Share how this is good news.
Well, what we could be seeing is a manifestation of thought in a different way, in an ethereal way that we've never seen before. Maybe we're coming into a new realm where thought is manifesting around us in the form of these globes, and these globes really harbor information and pass between us. And maybe it's light information, maybe it's good information, kind of on a loving nature, filled with, I don't really know, Tyler. To be honest with you, I don't know. I know that when I meditate, I use light as my source to gain information. It's not even that something's being downloaded or that I feel like, you know, there's a ticker tape going in my head. It's just that I use light from different parts of my awareness to come into my head and into my body to feel more of a connection to everything or more love, for example, or to a higher vibration. And so the idea that these globes are of light and that they're manifesting all over the world now, I mean, it seems like you can't even get on the internet where people aren't seeing globes of light. So I just find it very fascinating.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, let me add to the good news. I was reading an article this week, and guess who the wealthiest person in the world is?
I'm not sure. Didn't Gates take number third position?
He did take number third.
Around $62 billion, I think.
No, not Bill Gates. That's the wealthiest person in the world. That's
really? They were only, maybe it was 50, it was not very much difference between the top three,
was
it?
I think, $52 billion, give or take.
Mm. Who, Warren Buffett?
Yep.
I thought he gave all his money away.
Can you believe that?
I thought he gave all his money away.
Well, they equate him to Berkshire Hathaway.
Well, how does a man who gives all his money away still become the richest man in the world?
Because I think the money that he gave away, I think it was like he set up a trust to give that money when the time comes or something.
Oh, so he's still...
You know what I mean?
So he hasn't given it away yet.
Well, it's already set up.
Mm.
You know, like when you set up for your grandchildren and your children and whatever to inherit wealth?
Right.
Maybe I think it's set up like that. I would actually have to look into that, but that is true.
Hmm.
I think also they equate it to, Berkshire Hathaway.
Hmm.
They look to him as the CEO and head guy of Berkshire, which he is, and they talk about that Berkshire Hathaway, their individual stocks are worth about, are worth $130,000.
Hmm.
One share of Berkshire Hathaway is $130,000.
Yesterday, when going through these pains, I actually came to even higher awareness within myself, realizing how unimportant money is and how remote I am or I feel toward about being a part of the rat race.
Really?
There's parts of me that...
Let me add to this, because I think that you very much confuse the situation. I don't think Warren Buffett is about the money.
Oh, you don't need to defend Warren Buffett. I'm talking to you about me, not Warren Buffett right now.
If you watch Warren Buffett, it's like, he's the guy that has been the least, one of the most frugal guys.
We already know you're a Warren Buffett fan.
No, absolutely. But, you made a comment that money doesn't matter to you, and I'm saying... there's a guy named Warren Buffett who, money's not...
Actually, the rat race doesn't matter to me so much.
Yeah.
The idea of working for money, you got to imagine when I was younger, that's all I thought about. That's all I've ever thought. Tyler, I've had 40 years of thinking about money, period. Yeah.
And in my experience of knowing you, I've seen the importance.
Yeah. So I'm moving away from it. My idea of what's important is so radically different than what it was before.
That's phenomenal. But I wanted to add, if you think about it, Doug, I think it's just phenomenal. And there's an old saying that said, look at money, or if you want to know the value of money, look at, who money funnels to or something like that. like money or something like that. I'll have to get it to quote it verbatim. But I just find it incredible that the wealthiest guy in the world is probably the world's biggest giver.
You know what's interesting?
You
actually believe Warren Buffett and what you read means he's the wealthiest man in the world.
Like I said to you, I am a believer in logic.
But you believe Warren Buffett is, I actually believe that like all power organizations, they gain their power through the idea of secrecy. It's almost like secrecy gives them a power. So on many levels, I don't think that you're going to hear about those people who truly own far greater wealth. You might hear about them, but you won't know what their wealth position is. And in my opinion, there are people with such extreme wealth beyond what Warren Buffett might have that it's almost ridiculous.
But again, I think you're mishearing what I'm saying. I'm talking about the world's biggest giver. I'm not talking about the wealthy, you know. I'm talking about we got the world's biggest giver, you know, Warren Buffett, and strange enough, this year he's the top on the world's richest man. You know, and yeah, there's probably guys out there who don't have their money recorded, but I mean, if we're looking at a guy who comes the closest to a citizen, who hasn't been born into anything, created it all on his own, you know, went to the University of Nebraska, and, you know, has created everything on his own, and you know, has
you know, somebody impresses me more than Warren Buffett?
No, but hold on.
Oprah.
Oh, no, absolutely. Warren Buffett, you look at this guy's the closest to a citizen because you got all these others from secret whatever who've been born into stuff. But Warren Buffett was not born into anything, and you know, and to the citizens' eyes, to us, the people who have recorded on the wealthiest people in the world, it's Warren Buffett top in the charts. And I gotta tell you, I love to see that because I think he's a wonderful man and he gives so much. But, you know, I got to agree with you as well. Oprah Winfrey is another phenomenal woman, and I believe she came fifth on the list or something like that.
I'm not sure, but I
saw... She was the wealthiest woman in the world or something. I'll have to look into it.
She has a program that what she does is she has a competition where she gives people money, let's say $10,000, and
yeah,
she asks them to parlay that into more money, and whoever wins the competition, they can get. First, you got to give it away. Let's say you got 24 hours or 5 days to give away $10,000 to the person who needs it the most,
yeah,
or whoever, and you try to parlay that $10,000 into maybe more money. And I just thought, you know, that is so wonderful.
Serious?
Yeah, it was on today.
That is so wonderful.
One lady got in at $10,000 from Oprah, and she was trying to help this family regain a home because I guess their home was burned down. And she took this $10,000, and 5 days later, she turned it into like $134,000, and the whole community was involved. And it was on Oprah, and I just thought, God, that is just...
That warms my heart, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to add to what you say, if anyone's listening. Oprah Winfrey has the most amazing site. She has a radio station, and you can listen to the archives, much like BBS. And I took a listen. Oprah Winfrey has such profound things to say in her archives. If you listen to her, she's just talking on her radio show. She'll have guests, kind of like what you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about her life experiences. She brings in special guests, talks about, you know, their experiences. And I've got to tell you, it is so phenomenal. I urge anybody looking to become, you know, the best person they can be or to grow as a spiritual being. Oprah Winfrey has just an incredible section on her
site. That's a fine example, doesn't she? My mom just wrote me a letter. It says here, money is a tool, and it can be used for good or evil. To have money is good in the right hands.
You know, it's such a simple thing, but yes, fully agree.
Yeah, and Oprah actually, I think that she, using the media in the way that she does, is almost more empowering than what I see a lot of people do that do have money, even though they give behind the lines. You know, I just saw Teresa, Charlie Theron, or you know the name.
Charlie Theron, yeah.
Yeah, she's now in Africa where she's helping kids. She's realizing that 50% of them have the propensity to grow up, have AIDS, and die, and she feels a real need to go there and help people. And when
that
I see that,
my soul.
When I see that, when I see Hollywood jump behind these sorts of organizations, and really try to help people, that really warms my heart too. But we just don't see enough of it, you know.
Exactly. And have you heard? I know we've talked about it briefly. Bono from U2, he's done more for third world countries than the UN, and he's organized this amazing program called RED.
I don't even know if the UN has done anything good for anybody.
Yeah, but check out what Bono's created. He created this program called RED, right? And he's gotten all these major brands like iPod, Microsoft, Dell, all these huge names, right? And he got them, you know, let's say they're releasing a new iPod.
Mm-hmm.
He got them to release the same iPod but colored red, called RED, and a portion and set up an agreement where a portion, if you bought the red iPod, a portion of that sale goes to helping the people in Africa, helping, I believe it gives them a drug to survive, or it gives them something to survive, and it's quite incredible.
I give you right now,
like food or something.
Let's say you have $1 million.
Very important to their immune system.
Let's say I give you $1 million today, and I say, you've got 1 week to give it to the cause that you, or to help as the most people you can. Where would the money go?
I got to tell you, I would look like Warren Buffett does, and I would look and I would do my research on who gives the most.
The money has to go directly to the individual, cannot go through an organization.
No, absolutely. And I would look for the individual who's been doing the most. And I would go and I would seek their I would seek their counsel. I would see what they have to.
You've never thought about your ideas right now, different plights of various people around the world. That if you had the money right now, you're not. You know, a lot of people. I understand the idea of going to a group and getting a committee, or maybe figuring out where it can do the most good. But I'm asking you on a personal level, without any of that information available to you, what would you do?
I would tell you this. I've always believed in the Henry Ford analogy. Myself, I have not spent hours and days and nights and years trying to figure out how to grow the world. I haven't, because I've been trying to survive and, you know, get to a certain point in my life.
Mm.
What I would do is I would seek out for the individual who has done what I haven't been able to do, who's been spending their years, their days, their weeks seeking how to change the world, and I would seriously get their counsel. I'd get their opinion.
Would money go here, or would you be more inclined to give it towards third world populations?
Again, I would have to seek someone who has far greater information than myself, because I think I would do
I want to share this with you.
Doing it on my own, I think I would need to assemble a team of individuals who have dedicated their lives to it. I would seek out someone who has dedicated years and years, and like I said, I would seek their opinion.
Bear this in mind. That why you see a lot of these people having these paradigm shifts in their lives, and they become very, very apt to help a third world country or do something along those lines, is because they actually go out there, they visit these places, they travel to these places, and when they get there, it changes them. Just the fact that they put themselves out there in these situations,
mm-hmm,
changes them. I think on many levels, wouldn't it be interesting if we had, let's say, a school where in our schools we were learning how, maybe let's call it a class of charity or the class of goodwill, where we were actually taking our students and putting them in these settings, at least for short periods of time, so they could become aware of plights of people all around the world, different disadvantaged people. I think it opens people's eyes, because if we can always be a stand apart from it, and we never mesh ourselves into it, we just see it on the boob tube, it doesn't really feel as real as when we actually immerse ourselves in that setting. So for me, that might be something I would encourage.
Yeah. You know what? I fully agree with you. You know, we hear about it and you see it on the tube, but, you know, to experience it is so much different. And for anybody, whoever has taken the time to go to these third world countries, to these places of need.
An old folks home.
Yeah, absolutely.
A center where children are dying for, let's say, cancer.
Yep.
Just these little organizations about the local community can open people's eyes. I think a lot of us, we shy away from that. Even when I was younger, I mean, growing up, you couldn't catch me in a hospital with old people. Right? Why?
Right.
Everybody's dying. I didn't want to be around that, right? So I never went. These were things that I didn't tune into until later in life, which
right.
is kind of sad, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand the value of that.
No, I fully agree. I think if we all took time to immerse ourselves in the situations, I think it would be a different world. But I also think that, you know, for some individuals, they can take these giant leaps. But I think, you know, we could even trace these giant leaps, like, Charlize Theron. Maybe she's taken baby steps, and finally, you know, we just see this one giant leap of her going to Africa or out, you know, somewhere in need. But, you know, what if there's all these baby steps she took before she got there? You know what I mean? What if she's been helping out? What if she started her own local charities, you know what I mean? And then finally made this gigantic leap. I think if us as individuals can start with just baby steps, you know, even just moving in the direction, I think there'd be an enormous change.
Do you know, there's a lady on our network, and I've told you about her. Her name is Eva Herr, H-E-R-R. She's got a show called The Infinite Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And very spiritual lady. She interviews some of the greatest conscious minds in the world today. And I believe she was also a factor in my awakening, and probably a lot of people. She's just a wonderful lady. But she actually had an idea where she would put together groups of people. And they would be like, let's say, a spiritual group where they were taking information, let's say like a Dr. Dyer, and they were putting on conventions, or not conventions, but group meetings with legal groups. Let's say she would hit all the legal firms in a city or a state or a country and try to talk to them about a spiritual understanding, because they were probably the least spiritual, let's say. And infiltrating all these various groups of people with a spiritual group setting. And I thought that was just a brilliant idea. You know, brilliant idea. Where you had kind of like a Tony Robbins seminar, but it's not like a Tony Robbins, it's more like a spiritual seminar. And you're being hired by these not-so-spiritual organizations around the country, and you're just bringing them to a higher level of awareness.
I think, you know, I got to tell you, I think it's a great idea. But one thing that kind of hits my thoughts is, I think part of this journey is discovering our truth. And I think that for us to try to impose truth on others is sometimes, you know what I mean, the way we see the world, and, you know, it can sometimes cause turmoil. I think if what I would agree on is if there was, you know, law firms where there were certain individuals that were seeking to grow in this field and to have a seminar put on, but you know,
well,
I
you
don't
wouldn't, you'd
know
have like
about
a
people who haven't seeked the information, who haven't open themselves to wanting to see it. I don't know. It
maybe
seems,
what we have is
it
a
seems
new...
like every religion in, you know, because I think religion, organized, you know, spiritual beliefs is pretty much what we would call religion. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems in our world today. We treat so many problems to it.
I don't believe that spiritualism equates to religion. I believe it's more of an...
organized spiritualism.
Yeah.
I would 100% believe that's called religion.
I wouldn't at all.
Really?
Yeah. I believe it's a belief system, not a religion, because a religion, more or less, has rights and titles to things you and I don't have. For example, taxes they don't pay on their land.
A belief system
doesn't really entitle you to anything. You can't really organize a religion. You can maybe, but I've never
absolutely.
Seen it. I wouldn't term it a religion. I really wouldn't. I think that.
Keep in mind, at one point, right? Christianity, Catholics. All of these, you know, religions, Muslims, everything, all these religions at one time were an organized spiritual group that then turned into levels and you know, all this sort of stuff because, you know, they got all these rights and they got all these things and then, you know, they didn't have to pay taxes and they appointed priests and you know, the whole complicated spectrum. But I think that, you know, I don't think to begin with, organized spirituality is a bad thing. But
I think it would be interesting to have a person like you have a COO and a CFO and a CEO of a company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a chief spiritual officer, an SSO or a CSO.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What if, right,
our
world was people finding their own truths. So let me give you an example, okay? We've got a woman named Barbara, okay? She's living a crazy life. She has an experience which makes her want to change her direction, okay? Found all on her own. Nobody came to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
She realizes there's a lot of hurt, and she sees a lot of homeless people going to work. So she takes it upon herself. She's now found her own truth. In the journey she's taken, meeting all these homeless people on the way to work, you know, this event occurring which makes her want to change her ways, and she organizes a local, situation where they feed the homeless, and, you know, maybe provide shelter, and, you know, she starts off small in the community. Now, let's say there's another individual who finds their truth. And let's say that there's a girl who's dating a guy and, you know, he takes her back to his country to visit because she wants to see it and she sees all this devastation and now she wants to do something about it. She found her own truth and she starts organizing regular trips with larger groups of people to go out and to help this situation.
Is spiritualism a form of truth-ism? I see. I in my world... spiritual, to be spiritual more encompasses the idea of loving empowerment, not so much the idea of going out and saying, I have a truth, you have a truth, they have a truth, let's all find our truth, and they can all be different. That's already a given. That's already a given.
Yeah, but here's the truth of it. If we look at spirituality, Doug, we look at every religion out there, Doug, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And law of attraction, everything all equates to one simplistic fact is love, love, love. Love one another, love yourself, love everything around you. And all of these things do, Christianity, Buddhism, all these things around our world, the meditations, the law of attraction, whatever you practice, whatever brings your world together, it all has the same end result, and that's called love.
See, I would disagree.
And I would say that all
I would disagree because I don't think religion, it's the most, almost the most evil organizations that have been, they have been the cause of more wars,
absolutely.
More pain, and
because
more suffering.
Because of how man is, absolutely,
so, but,
100%. But I believe the other spectrum exists as well. I think some of the most beautiful people in this world.
All religions started from basic pagan principles.
No, but hear me out, that all of the, you know, so many beautiful people I've met all started off in a church. You know, and you know, yes, there's lots of corruption. Absolutely.
Would you say that the Vatican is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world?
I would agree 1,000%. But again, Doug, it goes to a basic principle of human existence. Give a human power, and they let it corrupt.
But I don't consider I don't believe that the Vatican is a spiritual organization. You see, what you're saying that everybody should find a truth and we can live with that. I believe there is infinite numbers of truth. I do, but I believe there's a binding property of all truth, and that's love. And that is really the essence of spiritualism, the idea that we're all connected, and we find that connectivity through
100%.
Love. So in that way, it doesn't need to be, you know, let's go out and teach something else, or everybody can learn something different. That's what you'd try to bring across to people.
Absolutely. I actually, you know, and I agree with you, Doug, and you just made me remember something. I'm going to share it with you. But first up, I want to say this to you know, sum up what I was saying. Let me tell you, I was not around when Catholic religion was created, and nor were, you know, we've lived in there before, but we do not remember.
Mm.
You don't remember that experience. It's been clouded from you for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can say that. But I'd be willing to bet you when that all first came to fruition that it was all out of goodness and all it was pure beautifulness. But because you give a man a human power, right, because ego exists here, because jealousy exists here, envy, greed, you then, you know, take advantage of that power and let it corrupt you. You know what I mean? And let me give you another really quick example. Again, I think there's such power, I don't know why I say this all the time, in finding our own truth. And I'll give you an example. I met an individual, this would have been a year ago, Doug, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing, you know, like you and I always share, we just had a beautiful discussion. You know what this individual said?
Mm-hmm.
She said to me, she said, "Oh my gosh, you have got to come to yoga." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "Because that's what we do yoga to come to that understanding every day. To what you just told me, it's so strange, yoga must be meant for you because you just told me everything that I do yoga to get to the understanding of." And that is a prime example. I'm only one individual. I've never taken yoga in my entire life. Never. Not still to this day, I've never taken it. For someone saying that they do yoga to get to the understanding of what we were talking about, isn't that interesting?
It is. There's
isn't
many methods.
Isn't it? So
there's,
exactly.
There's
so
many methods.
This.
So what
exactly.
You're saying, so by the way, that's saying something new again. And by the way, and I totally agree with you, Tyler, there's infinite number of bridges
mm-hmm.
to connect to that feeling
yes.
of love and connectivity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Now we're getting yes.
And that's
yes.
really why we can never be show people that there we actually create
yes.
the tools
and
other
yes,
people each
this.
Learn how to master those tools
yes.
on their own, and they can decide what tools
which
to use to reach those levels of awareness.
And you, sir, are the one who has opened my eyes to this understanding. Because what if this woman, right, Eva,
mm-hmm.
what if how she found her spiritual awakening was, because there are people out there who they hum and they say Hebrew, you know what I'm saying, right?
Sure, like the Gregorian chants.
Chant. That was the word I'm looking for. So they chant Hebrew and these ancient chants, and that helped her get to her way she looks at life, right?
Well, not in her case, but I understand.
Yeah, absolutely, but I'm just giving an example. So what if she went to all of these lawyer places, because that's all she knows of how she got there, and she tries to teach everybody chanting? And go, no, look, guys, seriously, chanting, that's how I got there. But what if we all have our own truth, our own ways of finding it? You, sir, you had what's called the Kundalini. I think that's a rare experience that you couldn't even teach. But yet, you and Eva see the same world. And it all boils down
And you're absolutely right. That's why on so many levels we couldn't go in there trying to get them to master a specific tool.
That's
we
right.
just go in there trying to get, tell them that these are principles that are important and there are ways to get there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know what? It all equates to, I promise you, if Jesus was alive today, in the Bible it said Jesus used to have fits in the temple. It all equates to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone being able to, charismatic, a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who influences others, who came to an understanding and then tried to push their understanding onto huge amounts of people, and then thus it became organized, and then thus they called it religion, and that's why there's a Joseph Smith, there's Jesus Christ, there's Mary Magdalene, there's all of these crazy, but Buddha and Ma, all these crazy you know, complicated religions who have fought over each other, but basically these people have just found their way of finding love, because if you boil Buddha down, you boil Jesus down, you boiled everybody down to the core simplistic, most simplistic thing, it's love.
Mm-hmm.
Even the law of attraction, sir, boils down to love. Why? Because what's the law of attraction about? You get everything you ask for. What do? You ask, know that the answer is yes, and then the third part is the biggest part, be in a place of receiving.
That's
what's
right.
What's in a place of receiving? You got to be at the, it talks about the levels, gratitude, blah, 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 but at the top of the receiving chart, where it says to be at the top place of receiving, having the door open is love.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Something like law of attraction even goes, boils down to love.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the idea of everything being united in one, within one, so what is the word for one? Well, I like to think one might be, the other word for one might be love.
Yeah, I agree, sir. Yeah. I got to tell you, I've got vibes coming through my body right now. I'm tingling.
Good.
So, it's just, I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, you made a good point there, in that there's a million ways to reach that, and it's hard for us to go into an organization and say there's only one right way, and you're right, and that would make it more complicated. But just the idea of reaching out and touching these people in this way is, I think, kind of progressive. And,
absolutely. Again, baby steps, right? It would be a baby step.
Baby
but
steps.
At the end of the day, and you, sir, you know, I got to tell you, this belief has come from you and your chats with me. At the end of the day, no, none of us, no matter how enlightened we are, and you'll meet the most enlightened teachers, they all share the same principle. We can never project our beliefs onto someone else because they're all different. They're all different truths. You know, someone likes peanut butter and you don't like peanut butter doesn't mean you're bad. You know, they're bad because they don't like peanut butter. You just have different truths.
That's right.
This person enjoys peanut butter. You don't. You know, it doesn't matter.
You know,
this guy likes to chant. This guy likes to meditate. Same. Do they love? Yes. Great. Then it doesn't matter.
That's right.
We don't need to have. Let me tell you, I think the biggest problem is when we try to organize religion or spirituality or an understanding, when we try to organize, like, let's say someone had a kundalini, them trying to organize that and give everybody a kundalini. Not everybody's going to have a kundalini. It's a unique experience.
Each of us are going to reach it in a different way.
Exactly.
Unique,
someone could be
unique for ourselves.
If someone could be doing yoga and just opening their mind and it slowly seeps in.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding you hit overnight, over a 10-year span or 5-year span, same understanding at the end of the tunnel.
That's
just
right.
Different ways. And you know, instead of you doing yoga for 10 years, you went through massive stress for 10 years, all these
but
crazy experiences.
You know what I would thrust?
Facts.
You know what I would, just to close off, you know what I would thrust in there? The idea of love.
Yes, sir.
Must be, I believe, is integrated into the idea of integration. Love,
yes.
And the idea that we're all one is,
mm-hmm,
almost something that can't be separated. So on many religions, in many religions, the idea of that doesn't come into play. You know, they might, you know, Christianity or Buddhism or whatever, the idea that there might be separation is a part of the religion. They don't believe that, let's say, that everything is connected into one. And that's really, to me, the idea of spiritualism, that we're all connected. You know, and to bring that to the forefront makes more sense. Hmm?
Trust this, I promise you, and if I had time, I'd do it myself. But if we went and we really researched Mormonism, Christianity, Buddhism, all of them, I promise you, we would find the strongest connection to, you know, when we got what they were saying, it all boiled down to so simplistic as love. Whether it be love your family you were born into, which is Mormonism, love your family you were born into, and Jesus, and blah, but it all boils down to love.
Yeah. You know, our hour just flew by, my friend. I'm glad I feel better.
Oh,
I feel so much better.
I just, very, very nice conversation with you, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Tyler. Love you, my friend. Miss you.
I miss you too, sir.
And why don't you close off the show and let everybody know when we're going to be back?
Guys, thank you so much for listening to our Inner Dialogue. We will be back next Monday, strong, same time, same place, and stronger than usual, because Doug will be feeling better. He'll be over his little flu, and we'll have a week of great experiences to share.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We love you deeply with all our hearts. Thank you. And Tyler, big hug. I'm looking forward to our next week's conversation.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I guess, Doug, we close off with find your own truth and find your own way of connecting to love.
And allow other people their truth.
Yes, oh, that, sir.
Love you, my friend.
Love you, too. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.